1 Kings 17 and 12. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I feel so honored to be able to teach and to preach to you folks. I've said this before, and it is no joke. I'd rather preach and teach to you than I had a national convention. They're not asking me anyway, but if they were, and they said it's either your church or there, I'll choose here. I'll choose here. And he said, as the Lord thy God liveth, she said, the widow woman said it, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, no candles, no icing, not even a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. Okay. Hebrews 4 and 1 says this. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us. Do you want to leave any promises behind? If you inherit something, you'll say, I don't need to read the will. I don't need to just add whatever. I don't want to leave anything. If the Lord's got a promise for me, I want it. If I'm an heir to it, give it to me. It's mine. It belongs to me. He said, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left to us of entering into his rest, that place of having space, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not, it was not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. No faith was mixed with them that heard it. I got a cute little title, Mix It to Fix It. Mix It to Fix It. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the soothing spirit of the Holy Ghost. It's like a salve that goes upon a wound, Lord, and it comforts and it takes away the sting. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? Just put the salve of the Holy Ghost over it, and it's all going to be all right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our hearts, our lives, and our minds, and in this church, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Brother Eric, can I borrow your sticks up here? I didn't hear you say yes, but. I hope you don't want to do a drum roll. Hallelujah. Oh, mercy. During the time of the life of Elijah, we find that God had called him from a famine. He called for a famine, and he's going to call him from the famine. How can you be in a famine and be called from the famine? Stay with me tonight, because there's a famine going on in the land where Ahab is not serving the Lord, and the God called for a famine. And when he called for the famine, he got the famine by calling for no rain. If there's no rain, you that form, you know it's going to bring on the withering grass. And if the grass withers, the cows don't have anything to eat. And the cows don't have anything to eat. The cows wither away, and then you don't have anything to eat. So you've got to have rain. So he called for a famine by calling the rain to cease. And so we find in a time of a famine, unless you have something stored up, then all you can do is sustain yourself through the famine is the best that you'll be able to do. Joseph had something stored up. That was what the Lord told him in a dream. So therefore, they actually flourished in the famine because they were selling, they had such an abundance, they were selling to everybody else and actually bringing in revenue, if you will, to the city and to the country because they had things stored up. But for most of us, if we go through a famine, we're just going to have to be sustained. And you know sometimes in your life when you're in a famine, things start withering in your life, you know. Not just you yourself sometimes, but, you know, I was talking to somebody today and we was talking about how we don't look like we're getting any older. And I said, I don't know, does this happen to you? Sometimes you'll go to a restaurant, sit down and you say, you see that guy over there? I used to go to high heat. I graduated with that guy. You see how bad he looks? Y'all do that too? Look at him, how terrible he looked. Well, I'm glad I don't look like that. Or do I, you know? But sometimes when things start withering away from you, you realize that sometimes you got to go into the sustained mode. You look at Job, he was in the substance mode for quite some time. And in one day, he was just trying to sustain. He lost everything in one day. And all he had left, what, was God. Really, I mean, that's all he had left was God to encourage him. His wife wasn't encouraging him. But the problem with being sustained is this, my brothers and sisters. When you're being sustained, it's all about you. When you're being sustained, it's all about your survival. It does get to me and my four and no more. You're not careful, it gets to be you and no more. But it's about sustaining. And when you're being sustained, you're just fighting for your own life. And you're not really trying to win anybody else. You don't have any time to give anybody else. You're not trying to save another drowning man because you're drowning yourself. Can a drowning man save a drowning man? No. Right? Can a man in a fire save another man in a fire? No. So when you're in a famine, you're just trying to stay alive yourself. And sometimes you're not teaching Bible studies. You're not witnessing. You're just trying to stay alive. You're in a situation where I just got to get my head straight. I can't help you till I get some help. You know, you ever been there? But the problem with sometimes with that is if it goes any further than being sustained, you start devouring one another. Yeah. I could go back and tell you the story of a king. You remember the king and the woman, two women, and she said, we ate her baby, now she don't want to give up her baby, and we were eating babies. We were eating our own. You start devouring one another if you get too far down to just sustaining yourself. You start eating one another. That's what happens when there's a drought. It can be in a job, it can be in a church, it can be in anything, in a family relationship. And it gets in a strain, you start surviving. I'm just going to survive this thing. And you can't help anybody because you're trying to survive yourself. But even Paul talked about the churches. He said, why do you devour one another? That's what he said. You're devouring one another. Why? Each church was trying to be sustained. Because if you're thriving, hey, brother, y'all come help us. And the next week we'll help you. You see, when you're thriving, you have something to give and you have something to take. But when you're sustaining, oh, no. And so we have to be careful, my brothers. I don't want to live in a sustained mode all my life, do you? I've heard people say that poverty is a curse, and to some degree it can be, but in other ways, I'm sure that there's afflictions and things that come upon people that prevent them from having some of the blessings that money can bring and so forth. But if we're not careful, you need to understand, poverty many times is not about the money. It's about the management. It's not about the money. And so we need to realize that sometimes you can hand somebody that is poverty-stricken $1 million, and it becomes a memory. That's all it is. It doesn't really monetize them. It becomes a memory because they've gone through it. So we need to be aware there are some people you can only do so much for to sustain them. That's all you can do. That's why Jesus said the poor have the gospel preached to them. The most important thing you can do for a poor person that does not have the truth is preach to them, not hand them money. Although, I'm okay with that. I'm not saying you shouldn't close up your bowels of mercy. We're told not to do that. But I will say, don't be a fool in helping fools. If people mismanage their lives and they mismanage their money, why would you throw good money after bad? So God expects us to be a good steward of everything that we do. Now here in this drought, we find Elijah is being sustained, but he's having to go from one place to another. He doesn't go to one place and stay there forever. He has to move from one place to another. And the word of the Lord, the Bible says, came to Elijah and told him to move to the brook Cherith. He said there, he said this, I have commanded the ravens to sustain you. Now, I want you to listen close, because we have two commandments here. He commanded Elijah to go to the brook, for there I have commanded the ravens to show up. Two commandments. I read a scripture that said any two agree on any one thing, touching it, they can have what they will. The Lord said the ravens will sustain you there. He could say, along with Naaman, I don't like that brook. I like Jordan River better. I like this other place. Well, you can go there if you want to, but the ravens aren't showing up there. But if you agree with what God said and you do what God commanded you, two commandments yields the purpose and the will of God. You put two commandments together, you have the will of God. You look at Peter and you look at Cornelius, right? There's two of them. They got to work together. If they don't work together, well, I heard about that. You know, even Ananias and Paul, right? Well, I've heard about that Paul guy. Oh, I don't know about him. But he said, no, he's a chosen vessel of mine. And the Lord told Paul, go to Ananias' house. Two commandments, when they come together, purpose is always accomplished. I'm looking for people that have commandment on their life. How about you? I'm not looking for people wandering around and all that. I want people that have purpose in their life and have a commandment on their life, because I do, and I pray that you do. And when those people get together, whatever they agree upon is going to happen. So here comes Elijah. He gets to this brook here. And the word of God, now here's what I'm talking about, and I read in Hebrews. The word of God came to him. Then by faith, he moved to the brook. Anytime you mix the word of God with your faith, you mix it to fix it. When you mix faith with the word of God, then you have the commandment of God and you believe in the commandment of God, and it will yield the purpose of what your life is all about. So he goes here, and eventually the brook dries up, right? There's a famine in the land. The water's not falling. And eventually the brook dries up. And the ravens quit coming. Now you can sit there and say, now Lord, you sent me here. But the word of the Lord came again unto Elijah. And said, I'm moving your residence now from the brook to the city. And I want you to go to Zarephath, one of Sidon. And there I have commanded, notice he said it again, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Two commandments. There's a commandment on his life to go now from the brook all the way to the city. And he said, when you get to the city, there's another woman there that I got a commandment on her life too. When y'all get together, what I tell you is going to happen. Give me people that's got purpose in their life. Give me people that's got anointing on their life. And I'm telling you, it's winners every time. So here he goes. We got to find this widow woman out of all these widows that are starving in the land. I'm going to be on the lookout for a widow woman, okay? And I'm going to be, I don't know, because all he told him was go to this place, and there will be a widow woman to sustain thee. So he gets to, the Bible says he gets there to the gate. He gets to the gate of Zarephath, and when he gets to the gate, he beholds a widow woman gathering drumsticks, right? Not chicken drumsticks, just drumsticks. She's gathering some sticks. Not 10 or 12. And we can come up with all cool numbers. If she'd have got 12, we'd have said that's for the 12 tribes of Israel. You know, you got 10, it was for the 10 plagues. And we'd have found something holy to say about it. But she got two. I don't know a whole lot about two, but I'll show you why it's two in a minute. And so he goes to the city, and he goes to the gate, and there he sees a woman picking up, gathering sticks. And he says to this woman, fetch me some water. There's a drought, right? Fetch me, and he didn't say 5 gallons of water or a pitcher of water and put some ice in. He said, a little water. Gather me or go get me a little water. We'll see if this is the old lady or not. Give me a little water. See if she's got some. And the Bible says she immediately turned around and went to get the water. And when he saw that she was going to get the water, he said to her, hey, get me a morsel of food too. You see, if I would have been looking for the widow woman, I'd have looked for some rich widow woman. Because she's supposed to sustain me, right? That's what he said. You're going to go here and she's going to sustain you. Well, Lord, I'm thinking that she's going to be pretty wealthy. I got me an upstairs room, you know, and I've got a jacuzzi, and I'm going to eat chicken and dumplings, and I'm going to order off the menu. We got servants. We got all these things. Wrong. When he gets there, he sees a woman in as bad a shape as him. What do you do when your answer is in the same boat you are? What do you do? God, is this your answer? This can't be your answer. She's picking up sticks. And we miss God's purpose and will in our life because we have a preconceived idea about what we should choose. Because if God sent me here, it's got to be a rich old lady. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, when I get there, my troubles will be over. He found out they're not over. It's like, wow, Lord, did you see how skinny she is? She can't even sustain herself. How is she going to sustain me? And so he looks at her and he says, I wish that you would get me not only some water, but I wish that you would get me a morsel. Say morsel with me. Morsel. Morsel is a piece of something. He's smart. He is so smart. He's warning, if you get a morsel of something, you know there's some more there. Right? A morsel is a mouthful. A morsel is just a piece of that loaf of bread. Give me a morsel to go with my little bit of water. Give me a little bit of this. Because if you got a little bit of that, and that's a morsel, y'all know you got some more. This might be the woman right here. He's beginning, the wheels are beginning to turn. And so we have to realize that God's miracles are birthed out of adversity. They don't always look like our answer when we see them. And I want to tell you, unless you can see beyond, and spiritually see beyond what your eyes can see, your faith is always challenged to see beyond what your eyes can see. But miracles are birthed where you cannot see beyond what your vision is with your eyes. If you see it, someone read the scripture last Sunday, why is it hope? There's no faith if you show me, right? But looking at this woman, it's going to take a stretch of faith. And he's testing her. Give me a little water and give me a little morsel, if you will. All he sees is a woman picking up sticks. I don't know if he's thinking we're eating Chinese food tonight or what, but he just sees that was a hint. This is the woman. You may not understand that yet, but that was a hint. The two sticks was a hint that this is the woman. That's why. See, the only sign he saw was she was picking up two sticks, right? Well, she was getting these two sticks for a reason. And he told her, I'm hungry. And I imagine she said, I am too. I'm thirsty. Me too. And my son is too. Oh? Mean there's two of y'all? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's two of us. And she said this, watch, I'm going to read again, 1 Kings 17:12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, see, she's recognizing who he is, I know who you are. I have not a cake. See, he asked for a morsel, right? She's letting him know, I don't have a cake to take the morsel off of. But what I do have, said, is a handful. I used double handful, just as a handful of meal in a barrel. Now, I think about a 55-gallon drum when you tell me barrel. There probably wasn't that big, I don't know. But you think about a handful in a barrel. This is not much. And she said, I have a little oil to match my little bit of meal. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it. For me and for my son, that we may, after I dress it, we're going to eat it, and I'm going to die. We're going to die. I'm picking up the two sticks to fix it. She said, I'm going to go dress it. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to mix it. If you don't mix it, you'll never fix it. It's not a cake. But I'm going to make it one. But if I don't mix it, I can't fix it. I'm going to go dress it for me and my son, and then I'm going to eat it, and then he's going to eat it, and we're going to die. And too many times we want God to give us the cake so we can have that and eat it too. But he didn't answer in the form of a cake. He answered in the form of a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil, and two sticks. And you can look at the meal and you can look at the oil all you want to. It'll never make a cake. You can even take the meal, put it in a vase or a bowl, pour the oil on top of it. It still won't make a cake. You can even take the meal and the oil and put the two sticks in it. It still won't make a cake. But if you mix it, you'll fix it. She said, I'm going to go dress it. I'm going to go mix it, fix it, and we're going to die. And tonight I want to tell you, no matter how much words you hear, I don't care how much faith you've got, if you don't mix it, Hebrews said they fell short of the promises of God, not because they didn't hear it, they didn't mix it with faith. And they came up short. The two sticks that she had was his sign. She's got something to mix. She's got something. She wasn't going to burn it. She was going to mix it. She was going to dress it with these two sticks. And he picks up on that and he probes and he finds out this is the woman. So she said, me and my son, we're going to eat this. We're going to die. He said, whoa, wait a minute. She called him the Lord, your God, and all this kind of stuff. She recognized, we're going to eat it. We're going to die. Whoa, wait a minute. The Lord is telling me a little different. He sent me here to tell you to fix me a cake first. And then there'll be enough left over. And he didn't say a big cake, he said a little cake. He said, make me a little cake first. Cupcake could be fine. And then you and your son will have what's left. I'm here to tell you, you're the mixer tonight. You're the mixer. How many of you have a mixer? You got a mixer? Sure you do. I remember when they make that, Brother Johnson, you ever made that lemon meringue pie? Okay. Brother Valentine, you ever made lemon meringue pie? Wasn't that good? You ever remember? Sister Eisnagel, you ever made lemon meringue pie? You make that, you whip it. You got to mix it. You've got to... put some energy. It's just what I'm trying to tell you. You've got to, mixing it is not just standing there looking at it. Mixing it takes some energy. Mix the faith and the word and what's preached with your life. Put some energy into it. I'm going to go dress it and turn it into a cake. You can believe all you want to. Be a cake. Be thou a cake. It's not going to happen. But if you'll put some energy with it and mix it, it will become a cake. And so he told her, he said, what you need to do is to make me a cake first. And he said, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. See, I told you, when you're trying to sustain it, it's all about you. And here we talk about two kinds of fears on the two verses I read to you. I know this may, I'm kind of bouncing back and forth, but I hope you're getting this. There's two kinds of fears here. The first fear, the fear of missing it. You ever had a fear you're missing it? Sure you have. You had a fear like you're missing something. And so he said that you need to fear lest you miss that promise that God has promised you. Have a fear, have a little bit of emotions inside of you. Lord, I can't afford to miss this thing. It'd be like they say they're going to read the will. And if you're not there, you don't get anything. Lord, I'm there early. Because I'm afraid I might get in a car wreck. I might get a flat. Something might happen. And I might miss it. Because if I miss it, I'm not going to get it. So I'm going to make every, I have a fear of missing it. I don't know about you, but I'm still trying to make heaven. I'm not there like some other folks are. They already saved, they think. I'm still trying. Paul said, let us strive to make our calling and election sure. I'm still trying to be saved. Everybody else, I'm saved. Lord, y'all pray for me. I'm trying to get there. Hallelujah. But I'm not there yet. But I know if I mix it, my faith with the word of God, it'll never fail. Then there's the fear of failure. I wouldn't ask anybody to raise their hand because we all sometimes, well, I don't know, you know, people are going to be watching. So there's two kinds, the fear of missing it and the fear of failure. Fear of coming up short of that promise and the fear of not doing, I'm afraid I'll fail, so I just won't do anything. And so he told this widow woman, fear not. See, make me one first. Fear not. Because if you'll make me one first, I will sustain you. When you put two commandments together, it's not just for one, it's for both of them. If any two agree on any one thing, they shall have what they ask for. My, my, my. So she did, the Bible says, according to the word of the Lord. And you know what? It became a cake. Now we know that God knows how to make bread, right? He rained down bread in the time when they was going through the wilderness. It was manna. It was bread from heaven. And but you know what? It stopped too. It ceased. When they came into the land, they ate all the old corn, and they had to start planting and harvesting to eat the new corn. And so in this case here with Elijah, he said, if you'll make it for me first, then you will eat off of this many days. Until, listen close, the Lord sends rain. You will eat off of this until the Lord sends rain. Until the drought is over. Their famine was over. The drought was still on, but they had plenty to eat till the rains would come. I'm here to tell everybody, I don't know if somebody may be in sustained mode, but I'm here to tell you that God will sustain you until the drought is over. He will sustain you until a better day comes. Hallelujah. It's not fun to be sustained. It may not be fun to eat the same meal every day. Nobody wants to eat, but I'm telling you, if that's all we got, I'll eat it every day. Until the rain comes. They come this evening. I'm trying to preach to you. If you want to fix it, you got to mix it. Faith and the word of God will always work. Faith and the word of God. Oh, brother, you're going to need these sticks. You want to pick them up? Thank the Lord. Thank you. God had commanded Elijah to move from one place to another. The ravens showed up because they were commanded. The widow woman showed up. She was commanded. And I remember a scripture that we quote often, don't live it much, but we quote it. All things work how? Together. For those who love the Lord and are the called according to your purpose, his purpose. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm not the only one that's been through famines. Anybody been through a famine? I'll never forget a preacher one time, a testimony I heard. I was just a little boy when I heard his testimony. I never forgot it. He talked about how he had lived for God in his younger life and, well, the Lord, he had a guitar, he could sing and the Lord would anoint him. But he got away from the Lord. He got away from the Lord a long time. And he said he came back to the Lord, but it just wasn't the same. And he tried to sing, and it just wasn't there. He said, I'd never forget the day I got my guitar out, and I began to play, and the tears began to flow again. And the love of God overshadowed me again like it did that first time. I had gone, he said, through a long, dry spell, wondering, had I gone too far? Wondering, God, do you still love me? He was in a famine, in a dry place. The Bible says when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, it goes and looks for people in dry places. Dry places. While some are flourishing tonight, perhaps spiritually, others are going through a famine. It's just part of living for God. But I'm here to tell you, the scripture said that the oil would not fail, the meal would not fail, it would not waste until the day that God caused it to rain. My closing thought to you is, until then. Until then. I'm holding on until then. Would you stand tonight? Until then. Until it begins to rain and things get better in my life, I'm just going to hold on.